Luke chapter 9, I want us to begin reading at verse 57. Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57, we're going to read to the end of the chapter, and it says this: As they went along the way, a man said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those at my house." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back at things is fit for the kingdom of God." Again, verse 62, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back at things is fit for the kingdom of God." And I want to speak with you for a few moments on the subject of, it's not time to be looking back. It's not time to be looking back. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord God, in a way that, Lord, we will hear from your spirit. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of scripture that we've read, the Lord is dealing with those that are followers or even potential followers of Jesus. Some here are ready to follow Jesus. Others are saying they want to. And they're saying, "I'll go wherever you go, Lord Jesus." But Jesus responds in various ways to various individuals here. To one, he says that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. In other words, that the very animals themselves have a home or a place to stay, whether it's a nest or even a fox's den. Amen. That these animals have a place to stay, but he says to them, in essence, the Son of Man, or he says, "I myself don't have a place to stay." Are you ready for this? Are you ready to go wherever I will lead you? It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be easy. There will be times in your life as a disciple that there will be times of lack, times of need. I don't have a place to lay my head. Are you ready for this? To another, he tells him, "Follow me." But this person says, "No, let me go and bury my father." In essence, he's saying, "Not yet, Lord. Not yet. I don't want to go now. Let me bury my father." And you see, there's no time frame here. We don't know if his father is young and still has 20 years yet to live. And he's saying, "But once my father passes away, then I'll follow you." We don't know. I mean, it could have been that it was a day. But either way, he says, "Let the dead bury their dead." And he says, "You go and preach the kingdom of God. You need to be ready to forsake all to follow me." And lastly, he speaks to another that says he would follow him. But he says again, "Let me go and say goodbye to my house." And what Jesus is expressing is that there is a cost. There is a cost to following Jesus. And we as believers, we as the Lord's disciples need to be ready to pay that particular cost. Now don't get me wrong, salvation is free. To be saved, to be born again is a gift from God that all we have to do is simply receive. It's given to us by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think it's interesting, where I got my degree at Lancaster Bible College, they said, "You know what? Salvation is free. It is by grace. But your degree is by works." Amen. You've got to do the homework. You've got to write the papers. You've got to get the grades to get that degree. Amen. Salvation is free. But to follow the Lord, there will be a cost. There will be seasons where you have to forsake all and be willing to go wherever God says to go. And Jesus ends by saying in verse 62, "No one that puts his hand to the plow," in other words, you go and put your hand into the work of God. No one that puts his hand to the plow and looks back at things is fit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying, in essence, that once you've put your hand to the plow, you need to be willing to go all the way. In another portion of Scripture, Jesus says, you need to count the cost. For a man that is going out to war, doesn't he sit down and think, with his 10,000 men, is he able to fight the army of 20,000? He needs to count the cost, lest he ends up surrendering in the midst of battle. For the person that is building a house, they need to sit down and count the cost, lest they don't have enough money to finish the building and it's half done. We must understand that there is a cost in following the Lord. And as the Lord's disciple, we need to be willing to go all the way, no matter the cost. And the Lord says very clearly, if you've put your hand upon the plow, no one that has done that and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And what Jesus is speaking about is a description of a farmer who is plowing his field. And of course, we've got to get out of our minds modern conveniences and tractors. Amen. Where our tractors of nowadays, you put it onto a GPS and that thing is going to cut you a straight line. Amen. You can probably get your hands off of the wheel and it'll go straight for you. Amen. They're so advanced today. You've all seen the fields. They're all plowed up and ready to go nowadays and perfectly straight. Amen. And it's because of modern technology. They're able to do it without, you know, you can be driving a tractor and look back nowadays and go perfectly straight. Amen. But you've got to go back into that day, into that time when they were pulling that particular plow, whether it was by cattle or by horses or however. And the one that is guiding the horses straight is the one that is plowing. Amen. And so the one that is holding the horse, that is holding the cattle that are yoked together, pulling that particular plow, that the one that is doing it needs to stay straight so that they have their straight lines. Amen? So that they will get the thing plowed appropriately. But the moment a person that is driving those horses or cattle and a plow and they begin to go, oxen, they look back. If they look back while they're doing it, they can go and veer off, right? And before you know it, what should be a straight line, it's going crooked. Amen? It's going wrong. It's not going straight. And in the same way, Jesus is saying, you, in your commitment to me, needs to be steadfast. You need to stay going forward. Do not look back. Don't look back to the old things that used to distract you. Don't begin to look back at your old way of life or begin to look back at things that are going to turn you away from me, that are going to turn you away from my kingdom. Jesus says, if you've put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not worthy, not fit for the kingdom of God. And we need to understand the price. That if we've started, we need to finish. Amen. And it's not time in this day that we're living in to begin to veer off because we're looking back. Amen. It's those things that can begin to lure us away, that can begin to cause us to veer off. And it's not those kind that the Lord is looking for. He's looking for those disciples that are going to be committed, that are going to go all the way straight. Amen. I remember, and I've told you this, I love the story of Pilgrim's Progress. In the story of Pilgrim's Progress, there's a scene in the book as Pilgrim or Christian and Faithful are going along their journey, and they're walking along the path, and all of a sudden there's a gentleman who begins to call to them to come and look at this pit that is filled with silver. It's called the place of lucre, L-U-C-R-E, of lucre, a place of wealth, or it's a distracting place. It's a place that tries to lure the pilgrim that is on the way to Celestial City away from the narrow path to something that seems to offer something better. And so the man is calling to them and saying, come and see, come and see. And yet they don't realize that those that have been distracted have gone to look at that pit of silver, to hopefully go in there and begin to get the silver out of the pit, that over the pit there is an overhang, and there's a pit. So picture an overhang in a pit, right? You know, there's an overhang looking over. And immediately the people begin to look into that place of lucre, or that place that is luring them away from the narrow path. That there is a shaky ground. And as they look over, that ground breaks from underneath them and they get trapped in that pit, even though there's all kinds of silver. And so faithful and Christian are continuing along the way. And as they're walking, they say, no, faithful is being lured. He's wanting to go. Let's go, Christian. Let's go. Let's go check it out. The Christian says, no, I've heard of this place. How pilgrims have been lured away and they've lost their way by going that way. And they've found themselves trapped because they veered off the path. And so faithful eventually listens to Christian and they continue going along the way. And as they're going along the way, all of a sudden they happen to see this weird figure on the side. It's kind of statue, a kind of woman-looking figure. And he notices that on the woman there's an inscription, a kind of lettering saying something about it. And so faithful says, look, Christian, it's got words there, but I can't figure them out. And he tells Christian, because Christian is a little bit more educated than faithful. And so Christian goes to that inscription that's on this statue that looks like a lady. And on that statue it says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And you can turn there really quick. Luke chapter 17, there is an interesting scripture in Luke 17. Jesus is speaking about the latter days. He's speaking about judgment to come. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 32 and verse 33, Jesus is speaking to them about things that are coming. And all of a sudden he says, when you begin to see all these things happening, don't run away, don't leave your house, or don't run back into your house to get what you own. He says, get out, right? And he says there in verse 32, if you're there, Luke 17, 32, remember Lot's wife. Verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. And here Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. And we remember the story. It's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Abraham has pleaded with the Lord. He has interceded. He stood in the gap. And he says, Lord, if there's 50 in the city, will you not destroy it for their sake? And the Lord says, I won't destroy it for 50. Abraham says, what about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 10, Lord? And the Lord says, I won't destroy it if there are 10 righteous in there. And of course, we know there weren't even 10, were there? And the scripture begins to describe as the Lord would ultimately rain down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord would allow Lot and his wife and his daughters to escape. Lot would say, can we, instead of going where you're telling us, can we go to this other town? It's a little bit closer, right? And the Lord says, go ahead. But as they're on their way out of the city and the destruction begins to fall upon those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, the scripture says that Lot's wife looked back. And when she looked back, all of a sudden, she became a pillar of salt. And what's interesting about this scenario is this takes place, but Lot isn't even able to look back, is he? His wife is a pillar of salt, but Lot and his daughters have to continue going forward. They can't even look back at their mother. They can look back at his wife. She's become a pillar of salt. And here Jesus uses that as an analogy, as an example, that we must keep going forward, not looking back. Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. And in the story of Pilgrim's Progress that I was just sharing, Christian and faithful see that image, and it's the image of Lot's wife. And it says, remember Lot's wife, and they were being lured away from the path, weren't they? They were being tempted to look back. They were being tempted to look at the things that were of the world, things that were of their old way of life. They were being tempted in their journey with the Lord to look back. But in the Pilgrim's Progress, and even Christian says, how convenient to see this now. Because it serves as a reminder that we should not be tempted to look back. And Jesus, as we saw in our first portion of Scripture, he's talking about discipleship. He's talking about following the Lord. That we must continue along our journey. And we must avoid the temptation of looking back because it will cause us to veer off. It will cause us to lose our way. It can cause us to eventually find ourselves shipwrecked in our faith. You know, the Bible describes, Paul describes them, that some people have shipwrecked their faith. And that can happen when we make decisions to go our own way instead of the Lord's way, or we choose to go our own path instead of the Lord's path. Really quick, I want you to turn to Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures here as well. Here we have Paul, and Paul says something similar, but here we see a different side. Paul is saying, I'm ready to forget it all and keep going forward. Amen. And this is the heart that you and I need in these days we're living in. You see, there is temptation all around us. I'm not talking about temptation to sin, even though that's true. I'm talking about temptation to forsake the Lord, to want to go our own way instead of the way of the Lord. We see so many, like I said earlier, turning away from God. They're leaving in droves. It's really a sad day we're living in. It really is. We need to pray. Amen. But in Philippians chapter 3, look at verses 13 and 14. This is Paul. He's under house arrest. He is a prisoner when he's writing this. And in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, he says, brothers, I do not count myself to have attained. In other words, I've not made it. I've not reached the finish line yet. I've not received everything in regards to Christ yet. He says, I don't count myself to have attained, but this one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what we see here is an example of a man of God who has put his hand to the plow and hasn't looked back. His hand is still on it. His hand is still on the plow. He's still working in the vineyard of God, in the kingdom of God. He is still going forward, and he's saying, look, I've been in this so long, I've forgotten what is back there. Amen? It's gone, he's saying, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You as a child of God must understand there is more ahead. You might be feeling discouraged right now. You might be feeling like there is a temptation to want to look back. And I'm here to tell you there is more ahead. You've not experienced it all. You don't know what's ahead until you keep going forward. And so no matter the discouragement, no matter what you are feeling right now, don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Don't be lured with that desire for things of this world or wealth or prosperity or whatever it may be that is calling us away. Hold on to that plow. Forget what is behind you and keep going forward to those things that are ahead. There's more ahead. There is more to enjoy, more to experience. There are going to be more battles. There are going to be more storms. But there is more glory. There is more blessing. There is more ahead. And it's there to be experienced, but it will not be experienced until or unless you keep going forward. Don't be lured. Don't be tempted. Don't be distracted. Paul says, I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things that are ahead. He says, I press toward. That means he's working. Amen. I'm pushing forward. I'm pushing through the discouragement. I'm pushing through these lies in the head. I'm pushing through what's in my mind about stopping or what's in my mind about looking back. I'm going to push through this. He says, I'm pressing towards the goal. It's like that runner. I mean, they're huffing and puffing. They're tired. Amen. But they know the goal is still forward. I mean, it's easy to want to quit. You know, that's the worst thing you can do as a Christian. Don't ever quit. Amen. Maybe stop and take a breath. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Be still and know that I am God, the scripture says. Having done all, stand, the scripture says. There's nothing wrong with stopping and taking a breather, but don't look back. Don't go back. Stay going forward. Amen. You're a soldier in the army of God. Amen. Someone wrote that song, Onward Christian Soldier, right? Marching as to war, right? And we must understand that it's important for you and me to press towards the goal, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a higher calling. And God will separate you into that higher calling. Sometimes that higher calling is a lonely place. But it's lonely in the sense that others might not want to go there. But it's not lonely in the sense that you are with God. Amen. But we must understand that it's not time. We're living in crucial times today, and it's not time to be looking back. Amen. It's not time to be looking back. Let's stand this morning.